the CEO of War Memorial Hospital, David John. Good morning to you. How are you this morning, Dave?
Morning, Mark. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, let's get right into it. It's been, I think, about 11 days since Thanksgiving. We talked to you last Monday, maybe a little early, to see if we got any type of a surge from the Thanksgiving holiday. But what did we see last week since last Monday?
Well, we saw some improvement. You know, back when we talked last Monday, I think we had 22 or 23, actually 23 patients in the hospital that were positive for COVID, and it dropped all the way down to 11 as of yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But we have admitted 5 people since yesterday morning with COVID, so
mm-hmm.
now we have 15 on our second floor and one in ICU, and I believe there's another one going to be admitted from the ER here shortly, so not sure if that's the Thanksgiving holidays showing up, but we were trending really well the last 5 or 6 days, but yesterday was not a good day. And then the concerning part about yesterday is that we saw a couple patients coming in from local nursing homes.
Oh, no.
We had not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any positives in our nursing home, but there's a lot of other assisted livings and home for the aged and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing around town. And, we saw our first 2 admissions from there. So that's not a good thing, because it usually runs pretty quickly through a nursing home and can be very devastating. We've been fortunate at this point not to have to put up with it, but let's hope it was only a couple isolated cases and it's not going to spread anymore.
With the way the nursing homes have been locked down, Dave, is it just, with no visitors or whatever, I'm assuming it's just like, you know, staff people maybe bringing it in from outside?
Yep, that's how it has to be. Somebody in the community gets infected and they work, and it's amazing. We've had, I don't know, 50 some employees that have tested positive, and a lot have recovered, but for some reason, no matter how much you tell people, hey, if you're feeling sick or have any of these symptoms, don't come to work, we still find a lot of people come to work, and we have to then take them off of work and send them over to occupational health to get tested, and they test positive. So,
right.
a little misstep like that, can cause a spread.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, good news on the MDOC front, we're seeing less prisoners in the hospital. We were up at 12 last week when we talked. Now
right.
we're down to 7, so
mm-hmm.
that's good as well. One of the interesting pieces of information, that you hear in the community and want to try to clear it up, is that some community members are saying, well, you're using all your beds up for prisoners because you're getting high reimbursement from the state of Michigan, and so you'd rather take care of prisoners than non-prisoners, and that's completely false. Prisoners are members of the community. We have to treat anybody that comes into the emergency room, but
right.
I'm not sure many people realize that all the prisoners in the state of Michigan are covered by Medicaid. Medicaid pays us less than what it costs to take care of the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So we get $6,500 for the entire stay of a positive COVID prisoner. The cost of the remdesivir is $3,500.
Right.
So we're losing our shirt on treating Medicaid prisoners. So it has nothing to do with the financial side of things. It has everything to do with they're sick and they need high flow oxygen, and there's only one place in the community that they can get high flow oxygen. And I know the MDOC has done a great job, opening up the Macomb Correctional Facility to have a COVID unit, and they shipped, I think, 80 of the really sick prisoners down there, because I can't imagine, if all of a sudden you had 80 prisoners needing care, what that would do to our organization. So they've done a really good job there, and we haven't had to turn many community members away. There was the one time where our beds were pretty full that we had to transfer a couple people, but we haven't done that in a week and a half or so. So just wanted the community to understand, we're not making a lot of actually we're losing money when we're treating prisoners. So but money should never come into it. It's about taking care of the patient and the patient's needs, and they're all, whether you're a community member or a prisoner, you're all citizens of the state of Michigan, and we have to follow the laws and rules of the state and the federal government. We can't turn anybody away who's in an emergency situation.
Right. Well, I was going to bring that up. I was like, you really don't have any control of that. You people show up and they're sick. You got to take care of them, right? That's
right. Right. Yeah. You just can't say no. We're not.
Sorry, you don't have any money. We can't take care of you. Right.
Right. Right. So that's the current state. We crossing our fingers that we don't see a big swell again this week, because it would correlate with that 7 to 10 day period after Thanksgiving, where if people traveled or got together, they could have caused another surge again. I also wanted to mention that we've always tried to do what's best for our community and keep them safe. And one of the new things we just installed was what's called a bipolar ionization system, which basically goes in your air handling units, and it basically kills the pathogens, not only the COVID pathogen, but other bacteria and allergens and whatever. And we actually installed those filters in our two air handlers last week that deal with ICU, second med surge, first med surge, and OB, and we got more coming for the rest of the hospital as well. So anybody who thinks that, well, if I go to the hospital, I might not be safe because all that, all the airborne virus is floating around the hospital. Even though they have it all on second floor, it floats throughout the hospital. Well, that's not necessarily true at this point anymore. I don't know it was true before, because we didn't see a lot of people coming in picking up COVID. But
right.
now we're putting even more protections in, so the hospital is even more safe than it was before. And I'm sure the airlines are using these same filters, and that's why you're not seeing a whole lot of outbreaks anymore from people flying.
Right.
Obviously, there's less people flying, but they put safety measures in as well. But now we have those installed here at War Memorial, so it'll help protect the community as well.
Is that something that you'll have to, like any other type of filter, have to replace, monthly, every other month, or something like that? Or
yeah, there's certain maintenance schedule and replacing them, and we'll have to do that. I don't know what it is, monthly or semi-annually or whatever.
We're talking to David John, the CEO of War Memorial Hospital. So, Dave, again, just what is your current number of inpatients with COVID right now?
Currently, we have 15 on second floor, one in ICU, so 16, but I know there's one in the ER that needs to be admitted, so you might as well say we have 17. So we went from 11 yesterday morning to 17 this morning. So we've seen 6 new admissions, which, again, we hadn't seen last week at all. From an outpatient perspective, over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday period, we did 213 tests and 22 were positive. So that number is lower, but it's also still at a 10% positivity rate.
Right.
From a vaccine perspective, we hear that today Pfizer meets with the FDA and they'll get their final approval, and then shipment will start. We're supposed to get 975 vaccines. I know both tribal health departments are going to be getting vaccines as well. We have to first give them to frontline workers and long-term care residents, and so we're getting the logistics set up for that. It requires an ultra-low freezer, which we had already, and we can store those vaccines. We can probably help store some of the vaccines for other areas as well. But the state's sending those vaccines in a dry ice container that you can replenish the dry ice and keep those vaccines probably until 30 days out. But there are some dynamics we have to make sure we deal with, because once you thaw the vaccine, you you have to use it within 6 hours or it goes bad.
Right.
And then the other dynamic is that there are no major side effects. The minor side effects that are being reported are that after you get the vaccine, you may feel, you know, not yourself for 24 hours, mm-hmm. maybe feel a little bit sick, but it's not, you know, it's your body basically, you know, adjusting to the virus that was in the flu shot. And so they say, you know, don't, like, if you don't want to vaccinate all your med-surg nurses on the same day.
Yeah, because you don't want them all feeling like woozy or whatever
right,
the next day, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you want to stagger that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously it's a two-dose thing, and the Pfizer one is you get dose one on today and you get the next dose on day 21. So there's some logistics there to make sure those people come back in and get their second booster dose.
Right, because, I mean, what's the point if you're going to get the one and you miss your booster dose, then it's kind of pointless, right?
Right, right. And, you know, at this point, they're recommending even if you had COVID to get a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the concerning things they're seeing in Europe, which is where, you know, this whole COVID thing hit back in January and February before it got to the United States, is that people who had already have COVID last year are getting it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole thing about herd immunity and that sort of thing doesn't seem to be true, but there's not enough data yet to actually, you know, make those statements in fact. But, you know, it's, I guess to me, you know, the coronavirus has been around forever. You know, I mean, you look at a Lysol can and it says kills coronavirus.
Right, said it way before this year, right.
Right, because the flu is a coronavirus, so... Mm-hmm. You know, how many times over the course of your life have you had the flu? You know, and so to think that once you get the flu once, you'll never get it again
right.
doesn't work. So should we be understanding that once you get COVID-19 once, you may get it again because it's the coronavirus and it could come back in a different variety, a different strain, that sort of thing. So, you know, all those are still unknowns that are out there, but, you know, the one thing that is known is that if you get sick, you know, and this is not a high percentage of people that get that sick, but if you get really sick with COVID and it attacks your lungs, and your lungs, you know, can't fight it off and they stop working, there's really nothing that you can do, and that's what's so difficult for the frontline workers is that they're used to, you know, fixing people and curing people and making mm-hmm. them better and sending them home. But in these cases, you can give them remdesivir, you can give them the steroids, you can give them everything that is known to man to try to stop that from attacking your lungs, and there's really nothing that can be done. And once your lungs fail, your only alternative is a lung transplant. And there's not a lot of, you know, healthy lungs that people have available to transplant into a very sick person. So that's really the sad part, and that's really what weighs on the nurses and respiratory therapists and doctors is that they see these people that some have pre-existing conditions, but they're able to live with those pre-existing conditions probably for another, you know, who knows how many years. And there's others that come in and their heart's strong and their mind's still working, whatever, but their lungs fail and there's nothing you can do about it. So, like we said last time, how do you know if you're going to get that sick or not? You don't. And probably 80% of the people aren't going to get that sick, but you know, is it worth the risk for the other 20% that, you know, this could cause somebody to die? And, you know, obviously, you know, the flu kills so many people every year as well, mm-hmm. but it isn't as impactful as this in that you can't do anything about it. And, you know, that's, I guess, a piece of good news is, you know, we're into the first week of December, and we've still only seen one flu A for the year,
right?
Which is amazing because usually this is the time it ramps up and we're seeing, you know, a lot of cases. But I guess that would tell me that maybe masks and social distancing and hand washing stops flu A and flu B from spreading as well.
Well, and the other thing, too, and I know that there was a push by the state and by the health department to get more people. There was they wanted to increase, I think, by 30% the number of people that got the flu shot here this year. Is there any numbers on how flu vaccines have been so far this year? Or?
I haven't heard anything from the state. I know they've been pushing that. You know, I know we track how many people here get the flu vaccine for War Memorial employees, but I haven't seen our numbers. Usually, you know, it's not everybody. We'd like it to be everybody. We shoot for, you know, in the 90%. I think we're last year we were close to 90%, maybe 88-89%.
Right.
We want to be above 90%. And that's with a vaccine that, you know, by and large, most people trust and feel that, you know, it's been tested and that sort of thing. And in this new COVID vaccine, there's still a lot of questions. And I think until there's more information provided to the general public and even to the frontline workers, some of them are going to be hesitant to get the vaccine.
Is there any indication, Dave, on the vaccine that's coming? And I know the one from Pfizer is the one that that War Memorial is going to be getting. Is there any indication on how long that will give you immunity once you take the two doses?
Not that I have heard. I know they think it's going to be okay. You know, for a certain time period, maybe 6 months to a year, but they may need to give you boosters every year as well. So you know, sort of like. What is it, the tetanus shot or whatever, you know, the
right.
Tetanus shot lasts for, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it is, but, you know, you need a booster to that every once in a while to make sure your immune system can fight it off if you get it. So similar to that, no time frame for sure because it's so new.
And I would think that there would be, after whatever this time period is, they're going to still be trying to work on a vaccine that's going to be kind of like the flu shot, I would imagine, where, you know, here's the vaccine that you're going to get. If you're going to have to get it annually, here's the one you're going to get. So I'd imagine that's probably down the road away. So
yeah, probably so.
I had a question. Somebody wrote in and said, if someone should go to work if they are not feeling well.
No, they shouldn't.
Okay.
If you're not feeling well, I know our guidelines for our employees are if they're not feeling well, they should not go to work, and they should call our occupational health department, which then will bring them in and, you know, do an exam and do a COVID test and determine if they have it or not. If they don't, then they could return to work when they're feeling better, but if they do, then they're off for the 10 minimum of 10 days, and could be longer depending on if they're still having symptoms or not. But the biggest thing is don't go to work, because once you go to work, if you are positive, everybody you run into while you're at work has then been exposed.
Right. And that again is you know, and the exposure is the 6 feet, 15-minute close contact, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, anything else that, I mean, I feel like sometimes we're beating a dead horse. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, since March, and, you know, I think we all know about the hand washing and about all the other stuff. Anything else you want to add as far as information for folks right now?
Well, I know, you know, the stress and the anxiety is, you know, certainly wearing on the frontline workers and the DDA and Chamber of Commerce have created a program called Community Cares Program, where you know, they're trying to help inform the community about how to stay safe, but also during this time of giving the holiday season, for those people who are interested in saying thank you to the nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists and other personnel who are on the front lines, they can purchase a $15 gift card from a local business or get Chamber Bucks. And drop that off at the DDA, and then the Chamber of Commerce, or drop it off at the DDA or the Chamber of Commerce and fill out a thank you note, and then those gift cards will be distributed to the frontline workers, not only at War Memorial, but throughout the various organizations in the community. And, you know, it really does help lift the spirits of somebody when they get some even small thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be you know, $15 gift card or anything like that, just a thank you to let them know that their community is behind them and supporting them and really values the services they're providing. So that's a great thing that the DDA and Chamber of Commerce are doing. So you know, at this time of year, if you want to help support those frontline workers, that's a way you can do it.
Yeah, it's I know it's sometimes, and it's hard right now because everybody's kind of, you know, hunkering down and everything. It's hard to, you know, you can't like just come in and, you know, bring a pizza party or something like that. You know, there's some steps that you got to do to make that happen. But I know that the a lot of people that I've talked to and have reached out to us here since we've been doing these interviews are thoroughly appreciative of everything that's going on at War Memorial Hospital. And hopefully we'll keep these, you know, I know you saw a little bit of an increase here recently, but hopefully we'll tamp that back down and hopefully we'll maybe level these things out a little bit here and kind of ride it out through the rest of the year. So
yeah, we're crossing our fingers and hoping that, you know, yesterday was just a abnormality with the spike and that we can get back to, normal sometime soon.
Right. The testing site still going through on Nolte Street, right?
Yeah. I think it's 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. And just drive up, you grab a packet and do the swab, and then we'll run the test for you. Also, we're working with a variety of other agencies in town, the Chippewa County Health Department, the Sioux Tribe, the Bay Mills Tribe, Blake State, and trying to set up a community testing site where I think it's Bay Mills Tribe that has a mobile unit that can be brought around to different areas so that the testing is more available in each local community. We don't have any new information on that yet, but it's in the works that we're trying to get that done.
Well, Dave, I know, again, we appreciate the update and the information, and we'll look forward to hearing some lower numbers, fingers crossed, next Monday when we talk to you, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mark.